Welcome to the Culture of Perth and Ross podcast. In this episode, we're sitting down with Vera and Shetland author Anne Cleaves to discuss the five books that mapped her life.
I'm here with Anne Cleaves. Thank you very much, Anne, for agreeing to do this with me. We've just had a fantastic talk about your new book, The Long Call, and we're going to ask you questions about the five books that map your life.
Well, I think the first book, because from the beginning, I was a crime reader.
Okay.
So I did start off with Enid Blyton, but soon decided that I didn't think she was a terribly good writer.
Famous Five or Secret Seven?
Famous Five. But better still, The Secret Ship Seven. Of Adventure and The Mountain of Adventure, they were the ones I really liked. But soon decided that I just grew out of them very quickly. And the author that I stuck with was called Malcolm Savile. Mm. And he set similar sort of adventure stories for kids, mysteries for kids, but set in, it was where we were living, so it was Shropshire, Herefordshire border. So again, very interesting setting as far as I was concerned. Real places were mentioned. And he was just great at place and character as well as plot, because mm-hmm. Blyton was very good at a plot, but not so good, I don't think, on character and place. So that would be, and I remember writing him a fan letter.
Really? Did you get a reply?
I did. Handwritten reply.
No.
Yeah. And they had something called the Lone Pine Club, and I was a member of the Lone Pine Club.
Do you have
Club.
A badge?
Can't remember a badge, but I do remember the handwritten reply back from the author. And a great, a writer that I'm very fond of now called Mick Herron, who writes the Jackson Lamb books, was also a member of the Lone Pine Club.
Well, there you go.
We share that in common. A love for Malcolm Savile books.
Do we have another book on your journey to?
Yeah, the next book is one that stuck with me from sixth form days, I guess. I probably read it first when I was 16 or 17. And it's a book in translation. And I still love translated popular fiction. I love books that take me somewhere different. I think if you're reading another culture's popular fiction, you have a sense of their preoccupations and what they're eating and their family life. But this was a literary novel. It was called Le Grand Monde in French and The Lost Domain in English by a guy called Alain Fournier. And it's a kind of rite of passage book set in the French countryside, maybe because the narrator is a teacher's kid and I was a teacher's mm-hmm. kid. And suddenly this heroic Monde, Augustin Monde, turns up at the school and it's all about the adventures that happen to them. And it's the only book that Fournier wrote, but I still reread it and still love it.
When was the last time you did read it again?
I did it because I did Radio 4's A Good Read and I chose it for that, so I reread it for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've started with sixth form and we go on now to...
young adult life, dropped out of university, just didn't get on with university at all. I think I'd been so happy in my sixth form that university didn't quite live up to it. And going back to Barnstaple to launch the Long Call, because that's where it's set, and meeting other school friends, we all felt the same. Everybody found, because we were such a tight, close-knit group, everyone found university a bit disappointing. And so I needed comfort reading when I was there. And my comfort reading was Golden Age crime. Not Christie. I think Christie is really cruel and ruthless and cold. She writes about serial killers. She kills off schoolgirls without the slightest bit of compunction. But I did love Dorothy Sayers. Mm-hmm. And Gaudy Knight, it's not a brilliant crime book. The mystery is very weak, but it's a great love story between Lord Peter Wimsey and Harriet Vane, I think. Very moving, the way that he respects her for who she is, doesn't care that she's got a shady past and has had a lover and has been on trial for poison. And you could see that poor Dorothy just longed to meet someone like Lord Peter.
And did she ever meet somebody?
No, you know, she had a child out of wedlock by a real bastard who was already married and hadn't told her, but she found him exciting. He took her out in cars, but he was not...
Empty promises.
Empty promises. A nasty piece of work.
Empty promises.
Yeah.
So, book four.
Book four takes us to when I started writing crime fiction, because I thought that crime fiction had to be like Golden Age novels, so it had to have a posh detective. My first detective has a double barrel name and a private income, and he had to be an amateur sleuth, not a detective. And then I read people like John Harvey and Ian Rankin. And Ian Rankin's, is it, I can't remember, it's Black and Blue or Blue and Black. But
Black and Blue, I think.
Black and Blue. And there's one scene set in Shetland, and Ian really didn't like Shetland. So that, but that was fun. And that sense that I could write crime fiction about people like me was a real novelty. And I still loved writing within that classic detective novel framework, but giving it a more contemporary twist.
So Shetland came from Ian Rankin's
of
Shetland.
I wrote it first, but when I suggested to the literature officer and the library staff in Shetland that I wanted to write this book, would it be too much of an impertinence? And they were quite keen for me to do it and not make it seem as grey and gloomy as Ian had done in the scene.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And my fifth book, because I think we are in a new golden age of crime fiction, is another crime book, but it's by a younger author. People might not have heard of it, and it's called Little Deaths, and it's by a writer called Emma Flint. And it's set in 1960s Queens, New York, hot, the heat of the summer. And the central character, it's based on a real case, and the central character, I think she's called Malone, but I can't remember exactly. She's a feckless single mum, works as a waitress in a cocktail bar, quite classic.
Human League now singing in my head.
I know. But when her two children disappear, the police automatically assume that she must be responsible because she was that. So it's about the assumptions that people make about other people. It's quite a feminist novel, I think, but it has got the best twisty ending of a book that I've read for years. And she gets that American time and voice pitch perfect. So read contemporary literary crime, really.
Okay.
Brilliant literary crime called Little
Deaths.
So
one to recommend then.
Absolutely, end with one to recommend.
Excellent. Anyway, on behalf of Culture Breath and Rose, thank you so much for sitting down with me and giving me five books that mapped your life.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. And if you're able to support Culture Birth and Kinross in any way, please consider donating to our Book Heroes campaign. A link to this campaign can be found on our website and in the show notes. Thanks again.